Hello and welcome back to It's Out, your music podcast. I have a guest here today. We've never met. We just met. It's the funniest thing because it's so almost inhumane for like people to meet on a camera. And like, but it's also fun because we get to just like talk as much as we want to.
It's so true.
Hello and welcome. MX, M-Tune. I hope I said it right.
That was perfect. Okay. You crushed it. Yeah, that was awesome. Reality of the situation.
Sweating with that one.
Oh my god, I wouldn't have been able to tell that you were nervous at all, especially after you followed up with "I was sweating with that one."
No, but that's so good. Oh, thank you. How did that? I know I read why your name is the way it is, but for the people that don't know, I'm really interested in how artists come up with their names, because some artists are really lucky, they don't have to.
Yes.
And they're like, thank you, parents.
Literally.
For example,
like,
me.
Oh my gosh, your name is beautiful. Like, you don't need to do anything to it. My name is, like, if you knew my actual name, it's, like, the longest name I've ever heard in my life.
Too, like formal and
too,
not very
way too formal. It's like, what, okay, no one's going to memorize that. But then, of course, I chose, like, the hardest to pronounce artist name ever, which was also a mistake, maybe to a degree, but I'm here now. I'm committed to it, so I'm
you have
stick
to
with it.
But there are people that kind of change their names like in the middle of their career, which is kind of like a big risk, but also it's cool.
It sometimes it pays off. Like, I'm trying to think of other people like,
who's done that before. I'm trying to think as well.
Was Snoop Lion a real thing? Like Snoop Dogg changing his name to Snoop Lion? I feel like I remember
Snoop
that.
Snoop Lion?
That was like a thing that I remember for some reason, but that could also be like, that's a like Mandela effect thing where like you misremember something that has actually never happened and isn't true at all. So that's highly possible that that's what's happening. But I'm trying to think of
Sam,
like, who else?
I feel like I know these two German dudes, but that's not going to tell you anything.
No, you're fine.
They're just like twins and they changed their name, but there's like a big, someone big. Aren't there a lot of people that had this like long name and then they just do that one name? Like, I'm not saying like Lord did it, but like, you know, the one liners?
Yes.
But I'm not sure.
I mean, like, well, you think of, I think of when I think of like monosyllabic like names would be like Cher.
Yes.
Like, she's Cher. Ugh. She doesn't need anything other than that. Yeah. Maybe the Zendaya, Beyonce. Oof. Gosh, to be that
it's
iconic.
So in your face.
It is.
I love it.
It's great. I wish I could do it.
No, but I feel like your name is very, I find it very interesting. Like, it's not even in a bad way at all. I think it's so like, how, what was the, what the, how and what's your experience been like with people like pronouncing it sometimes?
It's definitely frustrating because I was 11 when I created it, so I didn't have any like foresight into the fact that it would become a music name. Like, it was just my Instagram handle at one point because I was drawing cartoons, which is why it's MXM Tune. It was because I was doing drawings and posting them on social media, and then it was my gamer name. Like, it was what I used as my screen name for a lot of different video games. And then I used it for music, and that was the thing that ended up blowing up way more than I ever thought it would. So it just like happened too fast. It was fun. It's a good story, but it is definitely hard to say.
But it's kind of like meant to be, I guess. It's how when I hear it, I immediately can only think of you, you know?
That's
great. If it's like Lisa, I'm like, who? Which Lisa? You know?
Blackpink Lisa, probably. Yeah, that's the only one that I think of.
Yes. But you just talked about the cartoon part. I mean, we're way back now. You're like 11. What the hell? So like talented and creative. That's insane. Have you ever like drawn any of your own artwork or had any creative like direction in your artwork in general?
Totally. Like, I'm super involved, I'd say, on a lot of the visual creative elements. I was definitely like more hands-on earlier on in my project just because I was doing it all by myself for a long time. And like my first album, The Masquerade, like all of the creative direction for it was done like by me. I was doing like all of the merch drawings and all of the like the album artwork I like drew out and then planned. It was just a lot of involvement, which I still love doing all those things. You just kind of, your capacity to do them just gets a little bit like thinner as you probably explore different avenues of doing creative stuff. But I love it a lot. I definitely think like visual creativity has like influenced a really large portion of the music that I'm making. And
that's
I find
nice.
It super fun. But
yeah, because it goes kind of hand in hand. It's kind of like, almost like an addiction, because you're like, when you write a song, you have these things in your head and colors and all that.
Totally.
Like, some people have that, some artists don't, which I find sometimes hard to believe, because I feel like when you listen to music I'm like, doesn't everyone have like a movie in their head?
Exactly. Like, it's such a visual thing. I feel like to make a song, I always have a music video out in my head. Like, I'm like, wow, if only I had $1 million to figure out a way to like budget this video. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. But Sony,
you
let
can
me
make
know.
Like a Marvel movie. Yeah. Exactly.
But I definitely like, yeah, it's so fun to think about how you can translate music into a video or a photo or like whatever it is. But
yeah.
It's cool.
I think it's so cool that you're so involved there. And also the fact that you started off kind of by yourself with all these things. And you mentioned the capacity thing. Mm-hmm. I find that really interesting because it's almost like you have to split yourself into like, I don't know, five halves or something because you're supposed to be an artist, but then you're like, ooh, there's like contracts, and then you're like, ooh, but there's promo, and then there's the creative side, and then there's the like, there's so many parts that you had to play in the beginning.
Totally.
Which some artists have this, like, let's say Justin Bieber, he's like, he had this entire team of like 50 people right from the start. He was like super young, and he probably never even got to have that liberty of being like, great, I can do whatever I want. But it's, I mean, what was it like for you? Was it also like, oh shit, now I have all of this that I can, that I have to do by myself? Did it feel lonely, or was it like a liberty to you?
That's such a good question. Super thoughtful. And like, I'm sure you have your own experiences too, like navigating everything, but it was definitely really lonely. Like, I think I was so young when I started like gathering steam online, and I was 18 when I was making music, 17 when I first started writing music and putting it online, and like 19 when it started like turning into a fuller job and career. And yeah, I'm only 5 years beyond that. I'm only 24, but thinking back to just being a teenager and like having all these conversations with these adults that are just like, wow, you're so like ahead of the curve and you're so good at social media. And I was like, I don't think I'm doing anything that special. Like, I was just using social media the way that anyone
our age,
totally. So it was super like natural and felt very like native to me, but it was definitely lonely. I didn't expect for me to be able to be lucky enough to be a musician. I thought I was going to go to university for like an architecture degree or something, and that obviously is not what I ended up doing, but I definitely had very different life plans than what I've been lucky enough to end up doing. But I think that made it lonelier too, just knowing that this was all so unexpected. Like, I did not go into it with a goal in mind, and then figuring out kind of just a whole world that was not familiar to me in the process of stepping into it was really scary. But
I can imagine. Yeah. Because it's also, I mean, along the way, you you get to know people that are like maybe even your age and also do the same thing. But it's not a very common thing to be in this world that we're in.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, as a young human, it's also, did that change kind of maybe your view on friendships as well? Do you attract other people and when it comes to friendships? Because I feel like for the most people that I've met, or for me as well, it's like the more you hang out with all of these adults all the time, because it's like, you're not going to meet a 12-year-old as like an A&R.
No, oh my gosh, yeah.
Like, but are you prone to being friends with adults more?
Yes, like definitely. And that was actually even true before I started doing music. I just have always like felt, I guess everyone, I've been described as like an old soul when I was growing up. And it was just so like in high school, I remember it was just really, I was a teacher's pet. Like, I was super close with the adults on campus.
Yeah,
because
you
like
get
that.
Them because they're only human.
Totally.
And younger people never got the fact that they're like the teacher. I'm like,
exactly.
It's literally like,
it's not that different. Like, my parents are both teachers. That definitely helped this like perspective where I was like, oh, like these are just human beings. Yeah. And I think some kids grow up and they go to school and they're a little kid and they're like, they think their teacher like lives at school and doesn't exist outside of the classroom.
Literally, yes. Which is also like such a valid thought. But for some people, I feel like you're a very like empathetic person, and like, especially creative people have this like, is it a sixth sense?
I think so. That's the right term.
For anything, almost. And I think teachers are a big part of that. Not seeing them as a threat, like as an authority, but they're like someone that, they're there to teach you something. They're not trying to
antagonize you. Yeah, they're not trying to like, I don't know, do something horrible. But I really, I definitely felt really close to adults growing up. But it got emphasized for sure when I'm going into the music industry. And like my lived experience became just so vastly different from the average 19-year-old. And I was like, everyone my age was and that I knew was going off to college. And then I was like in a meeting with an A&R from a record label and then coming back together and they would be talking about like a roommate struggle that they're having. And I'm like, I have no idea what that experience is like, and kind of aching and wanting to know sometimes, but also like knowing that my life was just not going to be the same as other people my age. And that definitely makes it harder for you to connect with people sometimes. But yeah, I think that's been a thing, is coming into like being an adult now, trying to connect with people again that are my age and being like, come on, we can do this. Like, just getting like trying to psych myself up for it. Yeah.
Oh my God. I feel that on so many levels though, especially the college part, because I found myself actually going to college parties and here and like, I don't know, random, even in the Netherlands when friends went to, went over like abroad, studied somewhere. I'm like, I really want to see what you guys do. And they're like, we hate this. This is so boring. But yeah, you can come along. And I just like go through the halls and be like, ooh, this is a university.
It's so cool to you. Like, I feel like it's such a foreign thing to think about, like, experiencing. 100%. But, oh, man, yeah, I totally feel you. It's
Have you ever been to, like, did you ever just tag along and, like, vicariously live, want to live through your friends because they do such different things?
Yes. I mean, I remember, like, I was in LA for work one year, and I, like, went to my friend's college campus because I was like, can I go see what the cafeteria is like?
Yes,
like,
the cafeteria.
It was just, like, so, like, different to me and exciting. And then there was, I when I moved to New York, I had a handful of friends that were starting to go to school there, and I just remember, like, walking around with them one day in between classes and just being like, wow, this is so different than, and this is what I could have been doing, but like, just not, and that's okay. But definitely almost like, there's like a certain amount of grief that accompanies like choosing to do a very different path, and like knowing that you are just never fundamentally gonna go through the same things that a lot of people your age are gonna go through. And that's a choice that I made, but it also is something that I'll probably never stop wondering, like, well, what if I hadn't made, what would have been different?
I know exactly what you mean. It's like kind of this, you're nostalgic about something you've never experienced. It's like there's something missing, but you're fine with it, because it's like, also, being an artist is so, like, you obviously love it, and it's so fun. You're, like, the director of your own movie, kind of. But it's sometimes having that amount of power, almost. Like, you have this scepter in your hand, and it's your decision. When am I mean, sometimes it's really not your decision when you release, and it's super annoying. Like, a super annoying fucking process. And there will be people standing in your way, and things, and whatever. But, like, when it boils down to the things, it's like, so scary to have so much, like, you're in the cockpit of your life. And some people, you know, they just have this, like, I have these semesters now. I'm going to class. I have my teachers. You kind of have this
structure.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I miss that so much. Like, again, we're both teachers' pets. Like, I loved school. I was like, eating that shit up. Like, it was so fun to me to be able to be like, I have a class and I just got a really good grade. Like, it was,
and
then
I,
oh my gosh, you have like your time, you know when you're gonna be off, you know you have summer break. Like, oh my gosh.
So great.
I miss summer break so much, because now it's just like, I'm touring in the summer, and that's when all my friends were off, and I was like, I'm working now. And, but it was really, yeah, I definitely struggled, I think, with the most. That was one of the biggest things of going into the music industry, was just feeling like, whoa, it is such a different rhythm that I was not used to. But then also taking the teacher's pet mindset and being like, wait, I can't apply this to what I'm doing for work, because it will probably like drive me into the ground and make me
It'll
so
destroy
tired.
You.
It'll destroy you. Yes. You can't do it. So I'm trying not to do it, but it's hard.
Wait,
it's
that's really so interesting. Yeah. Like, projecting that onto, like, I don't know, people that are in your field of, like, the business people of it all. Then you would probably maybe, like, people please other people that you're not meant, like, because it's your project.
You
actually have to be your own.
You are in charge now,
teacher's
all of a sudden. Exactly.
You have
to be like, well, what do
fan?
I want? It's so tough. It's really tough.
Yeah. I mean, talking about, like, growing up and all that, I just heard, or I saw, I mean, a couple of maybe months ago or weeks ago, you moved away.
I did.
From New York fucking city.
I know. Who does that? I was literally, who does that?
Everyone from like Germany listening to this is like,
why?
Girl, let's swap. Like, but I also, I get that my dad is from New York and my brother is.
Nice.
But I've never lived there. I've only been there to like, I don't know, shoot something or whatever it is. But it's a very, it's a lot of energy in that. City.
It's so much. I lived there for 4.5 years. I moved at a really weird time. I moved January of 2020. So the world like shut down like a few months later. And so my idea of New York was also very skewed at that point, because it was so like quiet And I...
Scary.
It was scary.
A city like that
eerie.
Being quiet is even worse than just being in a suburb that's
totally.
Always kind of quiet.
Because it's not meant to be quiet ever. Like, that's one of the things I feel like that's draws people to it is just the hustle and the bustle of, like, everybody doing things constantly. But I was there for 4.5 years and I just moved to Nashville, Tennessee, which is a very different city than New York City, and realized that I think in a lot of ways New York was awesome, but I don't know if I could do the noise. Like, it just became too busy for me. And
it's a big jump.
It's a huge jump, but I'm definitely noticing, like, when I go to bed at night in Nashville, I'm like, it's so strange not to hear, like, ambulances and sirens in the background of, like, me closing my eyes.
Mm-hmm. But you have to kind of listen to your own thoughts.
Horrifying.
You know? Which
so
is fucking,
scary.
Yeah.
Literally, nah, don't want to do that ever. Yeah.
But that's okay. So you wrote the song, the I Hate Texas song.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, there's like a big, huge connection. Isn't that kind of about who the hell moved you away from New York?
Yeah.
And then I heard that there's this timing issue now of like relationships overlapping and you still moving. And that's like the whole thing.
Yes. There is like a lot of lore.
That's really such a big lore. That's like your moving lore is insane.
It's pretty crazy. Honestly, I can't lie. Like, I released I Hate Texas and that was written about like a past relationship that I had while I was living in New York. And I don't talk to that person anymore. And just the thought of running into him in the middle of New York, I was like, that's actually horrifying. And just I Hate Texas is about wanting to move to a place that maybe, well, if you hate it, you'd rather be there than be in the same place as someone you would not want to be running into. But ironically, like, I met my current boyfriend in Nashville when he was living there, and then told him that I was moving to Nashville later that year, and he told me that he was moving to New York. And so when he moved to New York, we started hanging out, and I was like, oh my gosh, I think I'm falling in love with this person. And then, like, yeah. And then I moved to Nashville and he's still in New York, so we swap cities. But it's pretty horrible. Yeah,
insane.
No, I actually can't believe it. If I say it out loud, I'm like, well, who wrote this story? Someone is messing with me on like a spiritual level.
Someone call the universe. Someone call the
I know.
That's like a literal movie.
It's crazy. No, yeah, they write like movies about this. This shouldn't be happening to me.
It shouldn't. No. You don't deserve it. I'm sure you don't. I'm sorry.
You.
There's no way. But it's so cool. You wrote like an amazing song about it, and now you're kind of. Didn't you also pack up your childhood?
I did. Yeah, I was just in California like literally last week, and my bedroom, like my parents were like, my brother's like moving back to home for a little bit, and he asked if he could move into my old room because it's bigger than his current one.
And your entire childhood, you're like, okay.
They were like, okay, so you're going to pack it up when you come back, right? And I was like, I'm only there for 24 hours. And so I had one night in my like childhood bed, and then I woke up and I was like, I think that's the last time that I'm going to get to like sleep in this room and have it be like mine. And that was a weird process too. So lots of transitions currently happening in my life.
There's a lot happening for you, but that's also a very, like, usually there isn't really this like last night, and you never think it's gonna happen.
Totally.
Even though you're gone, like, you're never gonna be like, this is like, I'm gonna have this last night. It's always gonna be there, but then it's fleeting.
All of a sudden,
apparently,
it's not there anymore. I was totally and being in between moving and everything, it was so, I felt so like disjointed and out of place just by nature of being in a new place and being in a new city and being in a new home, and I took my movers ages to get all of my stuff from New York to Tennessee, but I just remember like nothing feeling like it was home. And so coming back into like my childhood home and being like, this is actually a place that I feel like is familiar, but then also having the underlying feeling of, oh, actually, this is the last time that I get to come into this space, and then know that there is a space inside of it that is mine. And that's a really complicated feeling. There's a lot of like grieving, I think, happening over and over.
That's so interesting. It's a very transformative period for you.
Being in your 20s just happens to you.
20s. And people say 20s. The 20s are the most fun. And I've been listening to like 30-year-olds and they're like, the 30s, babe, that's the time. And I'm like, okay.
I believe them.
literally.
Yep. I believe them. I'm like, okay, yep. There must be some practical joke happening right now. Like, being in your 20s is fine, I guess. But it's not like all that
it
it's
being
talked
about. Yeah. It kind of sucks. It's horrible. Because it's so much. Leave me alone. It's so much. Imagine being like a 30-year-old hot woman with like a glass of wine, you know, chatting with your girls. You can all settle down kind of, but you're successful.
So fun. That sounds so fun. Right? I can't wait. Six more years.
True.
Telling myself.
And it's so funny how, I don't know if you were the same, but I never wanted to grow up. Ever loved being a child.
Totally. I think I'm now feeling that a little bit more in my like adulthood, where I'm like so aware of the fact that I will never be going back to being a young person ever again. I'm just getting older and older as the days go by. But when I was younger, I couldn't wait to grow up, actually. I was like, wow, I can't wait to be an adult. I think I'm destined to just like be in adulthood. And then now I'm here and kind of like, no, girl, you are not ready for this. I do not know what you were talking about, but we're here. We're rocking with it. I'm trying. Yeah.
I wish I could warn children. She's so like, it's going to be like this, but they don't care.
I know.
Because I wouldn't have cared, probably.
Exactly. Maybe I'll go up to my little cousins, and one of them's like 11, be like, stay the way you are forever.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah.
But as a child, I feel like you're so not conscious of like what's happening. It just happens all the time. And because it's not really in your power. And as an adult, it's like there's so much that's up to you.
Absolutely. It's really easy just to be like, all right, well, everyone's telling me what to do right now. And that can be a really frustrating feeling for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think sometimes now in my life, I'm almost like, could someone just tell me what to do right now? Like, it's kind of scary, the amount of agency that you receive when you're an adult. And sometimes I wish there was more guidance, but
I feel that so much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about rain. When I'm sitting in the sun, I think about the rain and the snow. Because when I listened to that song, I was like, ooh, this is my shit. Like, I love the production in it. And also seeing, like, the contrast to, like, mm-hmm. what people would probably usually think, oh, that's going to come, that's what she's going to do. Mm-hmm. But then this song came out as, like, a single from your album that's coming up. And which is really exciting, by the way. We're going to talk about it a lot. But there was a line in it that I loved. It was, Brooklyn made me old mm-hmm. or something. And it kind mm-hmm. of, again, ties back to your time there and all mm-hmm. that. Tell me about like that song and how the entire vibe of it kind of came to be.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like I wrote it last year in the spring, and it was really around a moment in my life where I had learned that I would no longer be living in New York in 2024 at some point. And that was a really hard thing to think about. Mm-hmm. I moved to New York in 2020 and I didn't really know if I felt super connected to it for mm-hmm. like the first 3 years of living there. But last year, like, I found my stride and figured out like what I like to do in the city and who my people were and my community. And I think it made me grow up in a lot of ways, living by myself independently in a different place for the first time.
Oh yeah.
So I learned so
much.
To do that. Yeah. Like, I look back on it, I'm like, I was 19 and I was like, I'm going to move to New York
City.
That's
amazing.
That's so brave.
It's giving like Rachel Berry.
Literally. Oh my gosh. I was like, I'm going to be on Broadway. Yes. I'm going to be singing my Glee moment. No, I could not.
Glee.
But,
oh,
I love that show. So
same.
Good.
I have no one to talk to about. I swear on
you
my
can
life.
Talk to me about it whenever
you.
You want.
Ugh, I have no one to talk to. Like any, I don't know a single person that's watched Glee. Because I
Girl,
live in Berlin.
Girl, that is my favorite show ever.
Same. I grew up with that show. That's why I know songs. That's why I know the old
literally.
Shit.
Everyone will be like, what's the artist that inspired you most to get into music? I was like, probably Rachel Berry from Glee.
Oh,
I can't even lie.
The like, entire like cast.
The Glee cast.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. They're so great. Oh my God.
I think they literally implanted this thing in my head that was like, I'm going to make music. Also the dances and the choreos.
So
and, like,
good.
The drama.
Yeah. I mean, I have so many songs where I'm like, the Glee version is actually better than the original version.
Yes.
But we're not going to talk about that right now. But
Somewhere Only We Know.
Yep.
For example.
Oh,
I don't know. It just like stuck in my head. But yeah.
It's good. That was a really good one. Love that song.
Yeah. But going back to your...
Yeah.
Sorry, I was like, I just
no,
had this intrusive thought.
You're so fine, because I also constantly think about Glee when I'm just sitting and not thinking about anything really in specific. But I moved to New York City, and like that was a really brave thing, and I learned a lot about myself in the process of doing that. And so thinking about leaving it was really scary, because I really had grown to love the person that I was becoming as a result of living in a city like that. And I had to think about maybe moving back to California, and this was all for like family reasons. I knew that I would be moving. And so I wrote a song about the kind of, I don't know, indecisiveness that I was experiencing as a result of that decision. But the line you're talking about, Brooklyn made me young, so I said goodbye, now I'm growing old in Oakland, was, I think, just about kind of unpacking the feelings of living in a city and discovering who you are in a greater sense, and then thinking about going back to who you were and not necessarily always wanting to do that. And I definitely have felt this like fear of devolving in my life and like going back to who I was previously, because sometimes you don't like who you were and you grow to really love who you've become. But that's what
that's an interesting thought. I've never listened to a song that has that kind of concept, because it's all, you know, like it plays around like the version of that you, all the versions of you that exist. But, but also I kind of feel like we're like, over time, we're made up out of all the things that we experience and the people we meet and the things we do. You're never going to lose that cool New York City chick. You're not.
I hope not. Yeah, I definitely.
You simply aren't, because it's in you, you know?
Thank you. Thank you.
Just as like a security
check. It'll always be with me. I think I've definitely like, moving away from New York, I'm like, dang, am I like less cool now that I don't live in Brooklyn? But hey, whatever.
No, it's in you.
I did live in Brooklyn, and that's what matters.
Exactly. You did that. You did that. And also, but that fear is very valid. Totally. Like, it totally is. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know, you always have like eras where like, oh, I love that version of myself. Yeah. But like, only the second that you can look back on, and when you're in it, you don't really realize.
Yeah. What's it? It's like, yeah, everything will always be, I don't know, greater than what you have. I think it's easy to idealize stuff that you aren't actively experiencing. And so, I mean, now living out of New York, I'm definitely like, ah, New York City was the greatest city ever, and I loved living there. But then I think back on it, I was like, no, the 3 years of that I first lived there were like so hard and really not fun. And I can't forget the fact that it's really easy to just look back on things and think that they were so much better than they actually
like
were.
Like romanticizing your own life.
Totally. I'm so guilty of that. But same. I think creatives are super guilty of doing that.
We're fucking crazy. Don't date us. Just don't.
I hope my boyfriend doesn't watch this.
Click away. Bye-bye. Okay. Talking about how you said like the romanticizing and hate-love relationships, maybe putting that... or like connecting that with your songs, do you sometimes, or do you have a song on your upcoming album, November 1st, by the way, that kind of you had a relationship with where in the beginning you're like, I'm not even sure if I really like this. And then you kept on making it. And now it's literally on the album and maybe even your favorite. I feel like sometimes it's always the ones that you.
Totally. Yeah. It's the ones you least expect. I mean, like the first song off the record, the intro one is called Dramatic Escape. And I remember making that song and being like, this is kind of a throwaway song. The session that I went into it for, I was so burned out at that point of like writing these really emotionally like charged pieces of music, or I was just pouring my heart and soul into every single thing. And I went into that one and I was like, I don't have the energy to make something that's super deep. Like, let's just make like a fun little song that doesn't need to be anything more than that. And I remember creating it and then kind of putting it into the vault of songs and demos that I had in my back pocket. And I was talking with my managers about what songs I wanted to have on the record. And they were both like, what about Dramatic Escape? And I said, what?
See, like, it's always the why? Other people.
Literally, I was like, why would you want that song on the record? And they're like, I think it's really good. And I kept listening to it again. And I was like, oh, this song is actually really good.
Oh my
good.
God. Other and people being like, sometimes checking up on you, being like, that's actually good. And you're like, wait a minute.
Is it good? Like finally giving yourself the confidence to believe in the work that you're putting out. But we went back and I like started reworking the production a little bit and fine-tuned some of the lyrics. I just ended up really loving it. And now it's the first song on the record. So when people press play, the song that I least expected to be having on the album is the first one that opens it up. So sometimes stuff works out like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah. Like thinking about the title, I've never listened to it, but I feel like I'm going to take a guess now. Is it like super like an intro for a tour as well?
Ooh, it would be a really good intro for a tour. Okay. I definitely think that it's like the vibes of the song, or it's like the first lyric is literally like, take it easy, nice and slow. Like, it just kind of eases you into the whole thing. And it's just about how you don't want to wait around for change to happen. Sometimes you just want like someone to do it for you.
Period. This is what we just talked about.
Literally. Yeah.
I love that. Uh-huh. Let's talk about liminal spaces, mm-hmm. because you're such a conceptual artist, I feel like. Because there's so many different types of artists, and I didn't know this. I always thought everyone thought in concepts. But there are artists that are just like, yeah, song, woo, mm-hmm. have fun. But you're so... Like, there's always a, you made fucking PowerPoints.
Yeah, like, I did.
Yeah, you did. See, that shows, like, the teacher's pet, the
totally.
Nerd.
Yeah, I literally have not, obviously, left behind that piece of me. So, yeah. I'm still doing it.
Yes.
Someone will give me a gold star, please, on my PowerPoints, please.
I'm telling the label right now, if you're listening to this, make a girl happy. Like, that. I would know exactly what to do. Oh, I'd get, like, a medal for you and, like,
that's
a
so nice.
Gold star.
Thank you.
Every time you post a TikTok, because that shit's annoying.
That's what I need. I feel like artists need some of that sometimes. Yes. You're just like, you did a good job on this thing. I'm like, thank you.
Yes.
Literally just tell me sometimes instead of being like, hey, you got to do this. And then there's, like, radio silence. I'm like, I did it, but did I do, like, is yes. that what you were looking for? I have no idea.
Yes, no. Having that, like, those affirmations. Mm-hmm. You really got to have that. I agree.
Yeah, totally.
But it was fully mixed,
yeah,
co-written, produced, and all that by women. Best species on earth.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think it was so fun to be able to set out with that goal, because why is it so rare for that to happen? Like, I can't totally. Believe that. It was so, when I brought it up to my team, where I was like, hey, I actually don't want to work in any sessions with men right now, and they told me, like, okay, that's cool, like, that's going to be hard, though. And I was like, but why? Like, that shouldn't be something that we request and then are told that it's difficult to have happen. Because
it's so weird that that's reality.
Totally.
I can't even
it's crazy.
Comprehend.
Like, and I knew that they weren't saying it because they were like, oh, this is going to be hard and we're not going to try to do that. But literally that there is not a toolkit set up for labels or management teams or whatever to have a network of women to reach out to when that is a request that's being asked of them. Like, there's no shortage of talented women in the music industry. There's just, like, an inability from the industry to find these women and give them spaces in order to create. Like,
1,000% agree.
It's crazy. So I'm really happy that I ended up doing that. And really, I think the music only benefited as a result of it. But yeah, no, that was definitely a huge part of the mm-hmm. record. Was I knew that it was going to be songs about my life and songs about, like, my experiences as a woman specifically. And so why not involve people that know what that is like?
Yeah, they're going to understand, and you're going to feel safe to talk about it, mm-hmm. safe to write about it. Such a, like, it kind of feels like you're naked when you're in the studio, because it's like you're literally, you just met these people, and then you're writing about your deepest, darkest feelings. And it's so funny, because I just talked to Lizzie McAlpine, and she said, because she produced her entire album, like, in the room, there was only men.
Wow.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, and I asked her, did you feel weird about it? And she's like, no, they're so chill. And, like, but she's so in her own world. But I feel like maybe I'm more similar to you, whereas, like, I love gay men, though. Like, if there's a gay guy in the studio, I'm fine with that. But, you know, there's a difference. Like, they have that feminine energy.
Totally.
And I feel safe to write about it there. But I would feel weird if I had, like, a band full of men.
Mm.
And then I had this instance the other day where I was looking for a female guitarist.
Mm.
And they said the exact same thing to me. And they were like, well, that's going to be so hard. And I'm like, I still haven't found one. I'm not kidding. I'm like, where are they? Are they hidden? Are they not giving, like you said, are they not being presented at all? Like, where the fuck are they? Or they're all booked because there's not a lot
that
have been given this opportunity to present themselves. It's insane.
It's crazy. It's, like, really jarring. And I feel like, you know, we would like to think we've made a lot of progress on, like, gender equality and making sure that women's voices are being heard. But are we really? Like, I was talking with one of the co-producers on my record, Carrie Kay, who's so talented and has done a lot of the Stixies and stuff with Noah Kahan. But, like, she was also, like, there's some playlist that's, like, the top 100 songs or something on some streaming service, and, like, we were looking at the breakdown of which ones had female producers involved, and, like, Carrie was, like, one of the only women that were involved in songs that were on that list. And that's just sad, because that shouldn't
Super
be
sad.
Happening, because I know that there's talented women out there, but, like, why are they just not being given a space? So I totally hear you. It's really challenging and weird, and it's tough. I mean, I definitely benefited a lot from being in an environment where it was like just women uplifting each other and writing songs that felt really vulnerable and true to my experience. And I think that was because I was around people that were so supportive.
Mm-hmm. And you did it. Like, you have this, I feel like you must feel so like proud and like
totally
comfy with this album.
Oh yeah. I've never been more proud of anything I've made, which is such a great feeling. I think it's easy to sometimes when you create something to be like, feel distanced from it, the longer you sit with it. And like, then you put it out in the world and you're kind of like, oh, was like a weird past version of me that like now exists out in the world a little bit. But at least I felt that way. And I think with this one, I just have so much love for the experience of working on it and the songs and the way that I wrote them and the people that were involved. I can't imagine ever feeling very far beyond what I was making.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Because, there's a lot of, like you just said, sometimes things can take so long in this industry. Like, you're just like, I don't know, blocked for like a year or two years. I feel like maybe that's happened to you as well. Like, I feel like I saw a video somewhere where you were like, people that know you off of that, maybe like one song that people keep going back to, and they put you in that like cupboard and they close it and they never really are open to like evolving with you. And you've evolved over like years, and now there's an album, and you... I love that you did PowerPoints, because it's almost like a fuck you, because you're like, you know what, if you're not, like, I'm just going to explain it to you.
Yeah, let me spell it out for you really quick. Like, it's sometimes the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
It's totally true. I mean, I've been doing it now for 7 years at this point, and I started when I was 17, and so you are a really different person than who you were when you were 17, and that's true when you're 18, that's true when you're 24. Like, I feel a lot of empathy for who I was and the younger version of myself, but I know that I am fundamentally changed. And the music that I'm making is also fundamentally different as a result of being a different person. Yeah. And so, but it's also interesting when you like, people become so intimately familiar with a very specific version of who you were.
And so interesting. I don't even know why people do that.
So weird. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like,
and it also randomized.
Yes.
It's very random. Like, it's artists so where random. People just grow with them, and for some reason they do, and some reason they don't for the other. There's no, I don't feel like there's a reason.
No, it's so strange. It's just like a roll of the dice, but it's so weird. I definitely have felt that. Like, I think people found me a lot of times when I was 19, and the music I was making was largely out of necessity at that point. I'm just like, I only had a ukulele and only knew how to use GarageBand and was recording and at home, not because I wanted to, but because it was all I knew how to do. And like, I've made the most out of it. But I've been so lucky now to have the opportunity to work with really great collaborators and be in different spaces and trust myself and develop my writing and actually gain access to a toolkit of like making different sounding music. I really am glad that I am, but it's some people haven't stuck around to listen to that. And there's other people too that are completely new and didn't know about your past self and are like being introduced to you now at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're bummed. They're like, dang, wait, none of your other music sounds the way that it does now? Okay, I guess I'll just be patient. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. But that's also, it's kind of fun. It's weird. It's so random. Mm-hmm. But it's like, whoever, the girls that get it. Yep. I mean, that's just the way it is, I feel like.
Totally.
But it's interesting that you keep like, talk to me about that concept of the like the change, because I think it was Rain. I wrote down this one lyric, and it was, I want to count the rings inside of me. Mm-hmm. For the like, it was like the aging of the trees, which is so cool, because I've been taught, like, sometimes, you know, when you like to throw random facts at people and be like, you know, when you cut open a tree, the rings tell you how old the tree is, and you're like, I want to do that with myself. How old do you feel?
Oh man, like, probably way older than I actually am.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, I feel like I'm stuck at 16, but also I'm like, I don't know, 38. Like, I just feel like being in this industry 30s. Changes you. Like, I feel so much older. Slay 38. Shout out to all the 38-year-olds out there. But yeah, I don't know. I just like don't. I feel like being in this job has really made me have to grow up in a really fast way that I didn't expect. And curious. I'd be curious if I cut myself in half, how many rings would be inside.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a fun, I like the depiction of that. I love that. It's so cool the way you write your songs.
Thank you.
So cool. I love it.
Thank you.
But talking about, like, we just talked about kind of the people and like people changing with you and like fan bases. And it's so cool because you have this kind of I know that you're obsessed with like gaming as well,
yeah.
Which is so fun. And I find that so cool. We have a PlayStation here. I think they showed you.
So I did see that, yeah. And I was bummed. I was like, I should have come earlier so I could have played something. But
it's so cool. Like sometimes you'll just see artists like playing PlayStation there with
That's
their
awesome.
Team. It's so cute.
Oh my gosh.
But then I heard you also have like the queer, like the LGBTQ side, and like you have the really, those are really strong fan bases, like from, especially the LGBTQ fan bases with music and stuff, there's so much history in that. And also they're so, like, it's like a tight knit group of people that are like ride or die. Do you feel that resonance, especially when you're like on tour and stuff?
Definitely. I feel really lucky that my concerts have always felt like a really safe space for queer identity. Like, I have a collection of pride flags that I've gotten at, like, so many different shows, and I, like, have held on to them for years at this point. But I just grew up in the closet and then came out in 2017. Wow. And, like, I remember thinking, like, am I ever going to have a community of people that I can feel affinitized with and, like, connected with? And I feel really lucky that my music and my shows have turned into that community that I was so scared I would never have. And but I totally feel it. I feel the love a lot. And I'm really grateful that my music seems to resonate with people regardless of sexuality or gender, yeah. And like can just be storytelling that feels impactful and like true to other people's lives beyond my own. But yeah, absolutely.
I feel that. That's so interesting. You were in the closet.
Yeah.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. I have so many friends that were, oh my God, it's so, I love that topic because, I don't know, it's very, like, personal to me as well. But it's interesting because I feel like now you're very, like, secure in that as well. Mm-hmm. How did you feel like you were able to just be like, hello, this is me, I don't care anymore.
Oh my gosh, I think, like, honestly, doing music really helped me. It just broadened my understanding of identity so much more beyond, like, what I was familiar with in California. And growing up in California is really lucky when you're queer. I think it was helpful to be in a city and, like, a state that was so accepting of so many. Totally, like, very familiar with, like, I had like gay uncles and like lesbian aunts, and like I knew about like pronouns really early on in life and understanding gender identity, and like it just, that was so helpful to give me language to describe what I felt to be true about myself.
Yeah.
But coming into like being confident, I think honestly when I came out in 2017, I was still very like insecure about claiming to be bisexual because there's been so many questions in my own head of like, am I enough of this in order to be like claiming it as a part of me, and doing
also, like,
music.
Labeling, like, just being like, this is,
labeling is,
you
like,
can
a,
also change it all. It's, like, so,
it's
such
so
a
fluid, like,
fluid thing,
really,
yeah.
Truly. I definitely opened up my mind when, like, I just got to meet more people, got to meet audience members that were, like, teaching me actively and just being a willing listener and learner. And I think that helped me build my confidence because it just made me understand how fluid every single thing is and every single aspect is. And I get to just be me, and I'm not any less queer because of being me. Like, everyone is enough. Yeah.
That's so, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Is there a song on the album that kind of reflects that?
There's one specifically that I definitely wrote and I was like, didn't realize how kind of gay it
how
was.
Gay it is.
And it's
such
called,
a universal experience.
Totally. I remember like writing it, and I think this song is called Elevator, and there's one line that's like, you see stars and steal the moon, you don't deserve her. And it's, the song is about like men getting kind of more privilege and a easier start in life in a lot of ways. But then also that line is specifically about like a man pursuing a woman that you are also into, and what the hell, like,
I could
get
do
away
better.
From her, get
I
away
could,
from her, yeah. She's mine. Yeah, literally, so that's the,
like,
that's the
I could do better, what
I
the
could
fuck?
Do so much better than her, like, better than you, like, what's, oh my God, I could treat you so much better than he could. That was pretty much,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Why do men? Why
the
do
question of the ages? Yeah.
And they just, I love that you wrote it. Oh my God, I'm so excited for that song, especially now. I'm really, like, I'm really excited for that. You mentioned something about back rooms as well, and like the whole space thing. Tell me about it, because I'm not even going to ask more, because I know that you have this whole like idea for
You're
this
so
album.
Fine. I'm happy to explain. It's definitely a heady concept for a lot of people, and sometimes myself too. Like, the back rooms, if people aren't familiar with it, is like an internet niche subculture thing. And so it's all about like the idea of no clipping through reality, which is like mm-hmm. falling through the floor of your life and then being in essentially like what is like a purgatory mm-hmm. and being trapped there. And I think my life in a lot of ways in the last couple of years has felt like my own personal version of that, of just like being in the midst of a lot of change and sometimes checking out from it and mm-hmm. turning on the autopilot and like sitting on the sidelines of everything going on and feeling like it's happening around me instead of being an active participant in it. And
like it's happening to you and
totally, yeah, not with you. And like, I think that the backrooms were a really important kind of visual language for me to understand the emotional landscape that I was like navigating at that point in my life, and became a part of the inspiration for the album. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you kind of, I love that you depicted it and kind of let, so that it's also easier to understand your feelings sometimes when totally. You have this like, okay, so there's mm-hmm. different levels to this. And
yeah.
Interesting.
It was really helpful to like have a visual language to bring in to like co-writing sessions and stuff like that, and be like, this is the way that I'm thinking about this. And mm-hmm. obviously it's a really kind of weird concept to bring in. So I had a lot of people be like, wow, this is really new for me. But also a lot of people that were just down and fuck excited yeah. to write with something and being like, this is super new. No one's ever done this before.
Yeah.
And being happy that I can, you know, make
yeah.
some diversification in sessions happen for people.
1,000%. Yeah. Like, it's not like you're not walking to the session being like, this is about everything everyone writes with you. So this is like a special, something special, and it's you. It's yeah. so, it's like how your mind works.
Yeah.
Like, why would anyone, yeah. it's cool because people choose to listen to you as an artist because mm-hmm. you have that special kind of sense for your own music. And also, if I kind of sometimes put myself in the shoes of like an A&R or like yeah. someone from a label, and I would find it really cool if there was like an artist that knows her shit, like knows what's good and like has a concept and not just a song, and is like mm-hmm. well, which is also valid, like if you start off and like it's a lot
mm-hmm.
but it's like a gift that you have this whole world that you've built thank you. Up around your album.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely
super fun.
Really loved doing it. Again, like the visual aspect of things is so important to me, and felt really fun to be like bringing in any type of PowerPoint I could possibly get my hands on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love PowerPoints. In school,
they're
I
so
was obsessed
fun.
With PowerPoints.
Yep. I always like, were you ever in the person in the group project that just did the whole thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Because
I didn't want anyone else to touch it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. Thank you so much for being on. Okay. We have one last thing.
Okay.
And I'm being reminded because I have Alzheimer's. You're the first person to do this.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I have no idea what's in this.
Okay.
For everyone that's listening, we have this like mini claw machine.
It is
it's
so
super cute.
Cool. Okay. I got a blue one. So maybe not an unhinged one.
Ooh,
but we'll
I don't
see
even
what
know
happens.
What blue means.
I don't know either. I'm going to guess like it's really sad. It makes me feel emotional. All right. Let's see
okay.
what it says.
Ooh, that's a long one.
If you could master any instrument instantly, which one would you choose?
Ooh. Oh my God. There's so many instruments. Oh.
I literally, yeah, I was like, do I go with like the standard choices? I think I would choose the harp.
Ooh, yes.
Like, that's a gorgeous instrument and also way too many strings. Like, couldn't yeah. I couldn't ever for yeah. my life try and even attempt to do that. But if I could do it instantly, yeah.
Really good idea. One of my favorite instruments because it's like angelic. It's like,
so
it sounds like heaven.
Beautiful. It does.
Yeah. And I respect people that can play it and it looks so pretty because you're sitting
yes.
at it and it's so
my posture can huge. Never. Like, I'm like hunched
we're
over.
Like,
yeah.
Same. Oh, I love
oh
that.
My gosh.
Okay. Now I'm doing.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Whoa.
Whoa. Okay. It did a little spin, did a little trick.
We got it.
Something. I don't even know if yellow is like super harmless now. We'll see.
What
did Billie Eilish ask this question? If you were a flavor, which one would you be?
Ooh.
Okay, nothing spicy, nothing sour. I would want to be a passion fruit.
Ooh.
Because I love passion fruit. I don't
that's
know.
Really
there's something
good.
Really great about it.
I mean, that's a good fruit to choose, I feel like.
Yes.
I was curious if you were going to go like the fruit lane or like an ice cream flavor or
something.
Something
creamy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Passion fruit's good, though.
Yes. Mm. Passion fruit. Woo. Thank you, guys. Okay, and now I have to end this whole thing. But thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. This was so nice to talk with you.
Yes.
Yeah,
same.
Oh my gosh.
This was great, guys. Listen to the album 1st of November.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready. And also, what are you going to do in Berlin now? Like, what
oh
are you...
Oh, my gosh.
What's planned?
I literally leave tomorrow morning, but I'm hoping to come back next year.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for some shows, so...
Are you only here for promo?
I'm only here for promo.
And where did you come from?
Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah.
That's so far.
It was so far.
I feel so honored right now. What the hell?
I'm
I hope this was
here.
Worth it.
It was all for you.
I hope the fucking play. I'm like part of it. You know what I mean? Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, guys. Reality of the situation. Dead's Out Podcast ist eine Produktion von Podcast Network by Sony Music. Idee und Redaktion Sarah Heiß. Executive Producer Sarah Heiß, Lukas Barth und Sandra Pfeiffer. Audio und Video Jonathan Heffner, Lukas Barth und ich, Faye Montana. Und die Songs aus dem Podcast findet ihr auf Dead's Out Playlist. Und alle, die mich beim Talken sehen wollen, finden Videos zum Podcast bei Snapchat und TikTok. Und nicht vergessen, Dead's Out überall zu folgen und zu abonnieren. Danke, bye!